This is KERA News. I'm Lauren Silverman. And now to Halloween. Every year about this time, millions of people pay to be scared. We travel with a neuroscientist through a haunted house in Plano to dig up the science behind a good Halloween scare. The creep-out factor starts before you enter Dark Hour's Halloween show, as a 9-foot-tall furry bat sneaks up on a woman in line for tickets. In a dark corner, an animatronic witch tells a scary story and stirs a steaming cauldron. Past a hidden entryway, there's little light, it's full of cobwebs, and zombies lurk. Even UT Dallas neuroscientist Krista McIntyre Rodriguez gets spooked by the strange growls. She says that gut reaction is your fight or flight response kicking in. It's controlled by a part of the brain called the amygdala.
So your heart rate increases, your lung capacity expands, so you have a lot of energy, your blood flow goes away from your skin, so you may feel a chill, you may become pale, but the blood flow goes to your striated muscles, so you can run fast and fight hard and get yourself out of danger.
And then a more advanced system in the brain kicks in. It's called the prefrontal cortex.
And that's like the supervisor. It evaluates the situation and then confirms or denies that you're in danger, right? And so that's when you laugh. You say, okay, everything's fine. I'm having fun here.
One of every 5 Americans plans to visit a spooky attraction this year. It's the annual quest for an October adrenaline rush.
It's really easy to scare one person. When you have to scare 10,000 people or 20,000 people, that gets very hard.
Alan Hopps is artistic director at Dark Hour. He takes an almost scientific approach to create haunt experiences. He's designed sets where snapping alligators swim in dingy swamps and pitch black hallways where witches sing eerie opera.
Haunted houses will always have a redneck, inbred, cannibal theme. That's the easiest and cheapest one to do because all your costumes are thrift stores, all of your makeup is blood and dirt, and you're covered. So you're going to see that almost everywhere.
So instead of doing the expected, chainsaw sounds and clowns, Dark Hour sends you through tunnels that spin and past werewolves with fangs that glow. When designing sets, Hopps uses the art of feng shui.
Feng shui is the art of making people comfortable and at peace and at harmony. And if you do all those rules backwards, it's great. If you're doing a kid's room set, put a couple cactus plants in there.
Force people to turn left. Use only hard angles. Make tree leaves sharp and jagged instead of smooth. It's unnerving.
One of the things a trick that I do is I mix in the sound of bees into a lot of our soundtracks. It's there. You're like, what is that that creeps me out? Well, it's the bees. You mix those in.
One of the rooms with an ice witch feels like a freezer. The cold, neuroscientist McIntyre Rodriguez says, makes you shiver and ball up, makes you feel more vulnerable. And then
there's a feast on the table with an enormous monster and a woman screaming. He looks like a butcher.
A child would be very sensitive in a situation like this. You don't want to show a child a horror film because they don't have that ability to inhibit that fear response.
For teenagers and adults, though, the fear can be a release. Alan Hopps says adults used to have real beasts to fear, lions, tigers, and bears. Many of today's fears are less tangible.
The stuff that people are afraid of now, you're not allowed to scream at. You're not allowed to cry over. It's traffic and mortgage and taxes and all of the stuff that stress people out that aren't even real things. So we come in, and as haunted house actors, we put a face on it. You can peg whatever fear you have on us and scream it away.
For nearly a half hour, in a house of horror, science can only help so much. There are no shortcuts. You can only close your eyes. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.